Good morning, everybody.
Good morning.
I'm glad you're all here today. The song service sounded almost better than the Akron Canton Church, you know? Anyway, we attend services at the Akron Canton Church. They combine those two, and John Miller is our pastor. And we have a leadership club, and a couple months ago, John came to me and he goes, you need to start giving sermonettes. And I'm like, okay, here we go. So we're here. I'm somehow related to all of you because I married Tom's sister, Chris. And we're here because Jeanette and Dan have their 65th wedding anniversary tomorrow. So anyway, news permeates our lives today. Some of you can even access news on your phones. When one looks at a paper or a news website, here are some of the topics you may see. Gay history bill advances, 5 arrested in an armed heist, a U.S. cracks down on online gambling, and this is another headline I pulled. Experts see the rise of babies hooked on drugs, you know, not to mention the recent budget debacle with the Republicans and the Democrats, the rise of school bullying. We had a couple suicides in our area with school bullying, and lately, the underhanded bank foreclosure proceedings, it was in the news. Our present culture, we work with very little reward for our labor. With every wage rise we get, goods and services also rise, you know, they match, or even, you know, just look at the gas prices lately. Is there really a way to get ahead? Looking back at these news stories I mentioned, compare them to the commands of God. These people in those recent headlines I just read, they weren't obeying God. Our lives can be positive when our actions align with God's commands. God promises to bless those that are righteous. What we want to look at today is, what do the righteous people in the Bible that were blessed, what do they look like? What's their stories? Today we want to research the qualities of blessed people. If one likes titles, go ahead and write the qualities of blessed people or the character traits of blessed people. In Deuteronomy 28:1, that's known, you can go ahead and turn there, but is known as the chapter of blessings and cursings. Notice when we read this that God does the blessing, but action is required on our part. We desire to be blessed. We all desire to be blessed and granted good things. Blessings are conditional, but they're greatly based on our relationship with God. And in Deuteronomy 28, God clearly states his terms. Verse 1. Now it shall come to pass, if you diligently obey the voice of the Lord your God, to carefully observe all his commandments, which I command you today, that the Lord your God will set you high above all nations on the earth. And all these blessings shall come upon you and overtake you because you obey the voice of the Lord your God. So we need to do all God's commandments to be blessed, but we also realize that blessing ultimately is a gift from God. Ultimately, blessings are unmerited, unearned by our means or by human means. Blessings that God gives us reflect God's power and affect all areas of our life. Verse 3. Blessed shall you be in the city, and blessed shall you be in the country. Blessed shall be the fruit of your body, the produce of the ground, and the increase of your herds, and the increase of your cattle, and the offspring of your flocks. 5. Blessed shall be your basket and your kneading bowl. Blessed shall you be out when you, blessed shall you be when you come in, blessed shall you be when you go out. Okay, if I would ask for a show of hands, count me in. I want to be blessed. I want to be blessed when I go out. I want to be blessed when I come in. I want everything to go my way, you know. But it doesn't always happen that way. Okay, in verse 7, it states that our enemies will be defeated and flee from us 7 ways. And if you have time this week, to just make it a point to read the whole chapter in Deuteronomy 28 and think about the range of the blessings described here and the curses. God wants to give us our heart's desires and all the good things we can think of, but God's commands have our best interest in mind, so we need to follow God's word. So what we're going to do now is follow some people in Hebrews 11. So we're going to discuss the qualities or attributes of blessed people. We need to know which people God wants to give all the physical blessings that we mentioned already. And also God gives us spiritual blessings. The Bible is a textbook of knowledge about godly people. Those mentioned in Hebrews 11 are righteous, faithful people. To be named in Hebrews 11, I would consider this a good thing. You know, if you're named in Hebrews 11, there's probably positive aspects of your life. And we're going to look to see if these individuals measure up as the people God blesses. So what I'm going to do is give a quick, brief biblical example of blessed people. And the criteria for this message is that the character has to be mentioned in Hebrews 11. And secondly, the person identified has to have some kind of good character traits from the Beatitudes. So Matthew 5 is a chapter that contains the Beatitudes. If you turn to Hebrews 11, keep your spot there. But turn to Matthew 5, please. Our hearts and desires can be obtained, and we can be blessed if we match the statements of Christ. And we'll start in Matthew 5, 1 with the setting. And seeing the multitudes, Christ went up into the mountain, and when he was set, his disciples came unto him. So basically, I see this as Christ's modern-day conference room. You know, he got away from everything. Jesus got away from the crowds. And he basically wanted to close the conference room doors and instruct his disciples how to act, behave, and live. If any of us work in a corporate environment, the boss doesn't like something, we're going to have a conference meeting, you know, 2 o'clock, everybody be there. And then the boss says, this is how you're going to act. This is how you're going to behave. This is what you're going to do, or you're not going to be here. I mean, so I don't know if Jesus said all that, but all we know is what he says. That's written. Verse 2, and Christ opened his mouth and taught them, saying, blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. So to be poor in spirit, one has to act against the normal crowd sway of the human mind and be deficient in pride or cockiness. So you have to be poor in human nature. To be poor in spirit, you have to be poor in human nature. A biblical character that comes to mind is Noah. And Noah is mentioned in Hebrews 11. In Noah's account, you can just write this down, Genesis 6:9. Noah was a just man, perfect in his generations. And it says Noah walked with God. And if we go down to verse 22 of Genesis 6, it says, unless Noah did according to all God commanded him to do. And then I have this one I highlighted. He didn't complain or try to question why God would do this. The world he lived in was wicked, so Noah didn't complain. Imagine building an ark in the desert for 120 years while others scoffed, ridiculed, mocked your family. You know, I'm sure the tabloids of the day, they probably had Entertainment Weekly and the Inquirer back then, all had all kinds of cartoons with Noah's family mentioned. Imagine being sealed in an ark for 7 days before it started to rain. I'm sure he was taunted, jeered, ridiculed daily. The flood came when Noah was 600 years old. Noah lived to be 950. So it's Haley's Bible commentary says he lived 9 generations. So and one of them didn't get married until he was 120 years old. But usually a generation in our day is 20 years. But Noah lived 350 years after the flood. So imagine Noah introducing the great-great-great-great-great-grandson, you know, 9 times. I wonder if he knew all his great-grandsons and children by name. Noah was blessed to meet his great-grandchildren, including Terah, which is Abraham's father. He was blessed with long life when his contemporaries were all washed away. Noah was a just man, and Noah did what he was told. Are we pure in spirit like Noah? Are we humble? Are we poor in human nature? Matthew 5, 4. Blessed are they that mourn, for they shall be comforted. Do we endure hardship in our lives? Everybody can raise their hand if I ask for a show of hands. Yes, we all endure hardship in our lives. They put a bookmark right there in Matthew and then go to Hebrews 11. It can be said that we only gain character when things are tough. the first century Christians suffered. Imagine the women and children left without a father or relatives when the lions were loosed against the unarmed Christians in the Roman Colosseums. Hebrews 11:35. Women received their dead raised to life again. Others were tortured, not accepting deliverance, that they might obtain a better resurrection. Still others had trials of mockings and scourgings, yes, and chains and imprisonment. They were stoned, they were sawn in two, they were tempted, they were slain with a sword, they wandered about in sheepskins, and goatskins, being destitute, afflicted, tormented, of whom the world was not worthy. Sometimes when we mourn, things aren't healed, but God can and will comfort us. Physical persecution is not something we face often today, but still, do we mourn? Do we mourn for our non-God-fearing culture? Do we mourn for the refugees in Burma that don't even have a home? Do we mourn for the families that lost their land along the Mississippi when they opened the levees? What about the recent tornadoes? Do we mourn for the people in Tuscaloosa and Joplin? How about the Japanese citizens near the failed reactor? Do we mourn for those? Back to Matthew, verse 5. It says, Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. Meek means teachable and yielded to God. In the winter, I substitute in the Akron School District, and there are quite a few youngsters that don't let them be teachable and do not yield to any authority. Moses had humility, and he was teachable. Moses was being prepared by Pharaoh's daughter to a position of authority, perhaps even a throne. Moses was mighty in words and deeds, yet he yielded to God. Let me interject a human nature thought. All Moses really had to do was wait life out. Egyptian throne could have been his. His lottery numbers matched. His ship came in. He was with the right family. But he didn't. Are we happy with the status quo of today's culture? Are we meek like Moses? In Acts 7:22, it says, just a reference scripture, it says that Moses was learned in the wisdom of the Egyptians and was mighty in words and deeds. So in today's corporate world, he was a mover and a shaker. I mean, he could get things done, Moses. He was young. Yet, let's see here, in Exodus 3, whenever God calls Moses, who am I that I should go to Pharaoh? Maybe Moses, after he had 40 years, basically Moses' story is he was 40 years old when he killed an Egyptian taskmaster, and then for 40 years after that, he herded sheep, or tended sheep. So he was 80 years old, and then God calls him to lead 600,000 men out of Egypt. And that adds up to about 6 million people, is what the Bible commentaries say, because each man had a family of 5 or 6. So God called Moses to lead the people out. So I was figuring out with my daughters, what is 6 million people? 6 million people, so we pulled up the census, for the United States. So all the people in Indiana adds up to 6 million, and all the people in Tennessee adds up to 6 million. So imagine getting all the people in Indiana, getting them together and say, we're going to march to Michigan. We're going to go. So it's a lot of people. So turn to Hebrews 11:24, and we'll mention the rewards of being faithful as Moses. The wording of this blessing for this quality is also important. As you flip to Hebrews, I'll remind you what we will inherit. In Matthew 5:5, we just read it. It was one of my memory verses my dad made me understand, made me memorize. It says, Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. So this second part of Matthew 5 is what Moses gained from not indulging in the pleasures of sin. Moses will inherit the earth, and God will grant us the same. God will grant us blessings. If you're a younger listener, notice that we will inherit the earth, not heaven. Don't let our culture say that you're going to go to heaven. A couple younger listeners out here. Colton, Anissa, Lauren, Travis, I don't know everybody's name. Logan, Sam, Ethan, Jake. So don't let society or our culture of heaven, the influence of heaven, take you over. I mean, if someone says that they're going to go to heaven, or somebody, you know, if you can try to be a light and say, I don't think that's correct, you know, and some people even think that your pets go to heaven now too. So God says that we're buried in the ground till the resurrection. So, okay, Hebrews 11:24. Sorry, we got off on that. By faith, Moses, when he came to age, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter, choosing rather to suffer affliction with the people of God than to enjoy a passing pleasures of sin, esteeming the reproach of Christ greater riches than the treasures in Egypt, and he looked to the reward. Are we meek like Moses? Can we wait for our reward like Moses? Do we value our calling, being here, more? Do we value it more than being powerful or wealthy? And do we want to inherit the earth? I mean, it says that we always go after what we want to do. What you're doing right now is the most important thing. Is what they used to tell us at work. What you're thinking about right now and doing right now is the most important thing in your life. Okay, back to Matthew 5:6. Blessed are they which do hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled. This focuses on our heart's desires and our intention. We hunger for what we lack. Psalm 143:6 talks about David. David comes to mind as someone who hungered and thirsted after righteousness. We need to be more like King David. 143:6. I spread out my hands to you. My soul longs for you like a thirsty lamb. Verse 8. Cause me to hear your loving kindness in the morning, for in you I do trust. Cause me to know the way in which I should walk, for I lift my soul to you. We need to be like David. Search for God. We need to have it the most important thing in our life. David's hearts and intentions were focused on God. He knew what he lacked. David looked to God for guidance, for satisfaction. David admitted his hunger for God. And God blessed him. Basically, it says, reference verse, 2 Samuel 7:11, that David's throne will last forever. And David's going to rule over the 12 tribes of Israel. If you read the Psalms, he praises God. I think I wanted to read one more thing here. I always like the last Psalm, the last scripture, Psalms 150:6. We need to be more like this. This is what David said. Let everything that has breath praise the Lord. Do we want to learn about God's word? Are we hungry for obtaining more godly knowledge? Do we want to have godly character? The next beatitude is in Matthew 5:7. Blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy. And this kind of goes along with if you want to have friends, be friendly. So if you're merciful, you'll get mercy. The person who comes to mind who had lots of mercy from God Let's look at Rahab of Jericho and her story. Hebrews 11:31. Story of Rahab. It says, by faith, Rahab did not perish with those who did not believe, when she had received the spies with peace. Rahab's account in Joshua 2, verse 3, talks about Rahab. But before this point in Rahab's story, Israel's defeated the two kings of the cities of the Amorites, the Sihon and Og, and then Moses died, Joshua's in charge. The Jordan River dries up, and the Israelites come across the Jordan River. And that's got to be scary if you're in the city of Jericho, because you already saw Israel defeat people. And basically, Jericho is the next city on the way. So Joshua sends spies to Jericho, and Rahab says to the spies, I know your God has given you our land. So Rahab has kind of got the inside track. She knows what's going on, and she knows who's in charge. Rahab hides the spies under the flax drying on the roof. But like in all towns, someone's watching. Like in all households, somebody's watching. You know, if you're out here young, somebody knows what you're doing. So we pick up the story in Joshua 2:3. So the king of Jericho sent this message to Rahab. Bring out the men who came to you and entered into your house, because they have come to spy out our whole land. But the woman had taken the two men and hidden them. She said, yes, the men came to me, but I did not know where they had come from. At dusk, when it was time to close the city gate, they left. I don't know which way they went. Go after them quickly. You may catch up with them. But she had taken them up on the roof and hidden them under the stalks of flax that she had laid out on the roof. So they were hiding. She didn't really know where they were. She just knew they were on the roof. But you can imagine at this point that the spies were in a hurry to get back to Joshua. You know, they got away. They don't want to be killed. And Rahab basically says, just wait a minute. You know, not so fast. Men have been getting away from me for years. So read a little more about. So down in verse 12, it says, now then, please swear to me by the Lord that you will show kindness to my family because I have shown kindness to you. So she was convinced or convicted that she wanted mercy for her family. And she wanted saved whenever Israel came into Jericho. But Rahab married Solomon, and the contemporary, you know, Haley's Bible says that he was probably one of the spies that came, which was Solomon. You know, we don't know, it's not said, but that's what they're telling us. So Rahab married Solomon, and then Rahab was Boaz's mother. You know, Ruth married Boaz, so Rahab, which is a Gentile, is in the genealogy of Christ. So her merciful actions were rewarded by God. Are we merciful? Do we show kindness? Or do we look the other way? Are we able to be kind to people? Are we able to be kind always? The next beatitude is Matthew 5:8. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. Purity is incorruption. Right thoughts, clean motives, having a genuine heart, you know, what's pure. We remember, you know, the Ivory Soap commercials, you know, so much percent pure, you know. All the bottled water, they always say that's real pure. So, blessed are the pure in heart. So we don't need to tempt God, but we need to have the right motives. If we ask God to show us a miracle, we better have the right heart. So Gideon's mentioned in Hebrews 11, and Gideon asked God for a miracle. So Gideon is in charge of 32,000 men. So if you were in charge of 32,000 men, and someone says, go out and fight 120,000, yeah, Gideon's saying, just wait a minute. You know, I want to make sure that I know what my procedures are. So he asked for a miracle. He put a fleece or a sweater on the ground, and he wanted the ground dry and the fleece soaked with dew. And then the second time, he wasn't happy with the first miracle. But he says, are you sure? So we want the ground with dew and then the opposite way. We want the ground with dew and then the fleece with sweater. That was it the first time? Okay. Anyway, we've all read the story. So honestly, Gideon needed reassurance from God. Yeah. So God can tell whenever we have a pure heart and we're asking. A couple weeks ago in our services, they said Gideon was a slow learner. This is what the person giving the sermon, that God works with us slowly, you know, but your heart has to be right for God to work with you. So Gideon showed purity of mind when he tore down his family's altar of Baal, which really wasn't a popular move. He tore it down at night. He snuck in and tore it down. And then he got away. And then his Gideon's dad, I believe, said, if your God's so, if Baal is so good, let him build his own altar. You know, I mean, take a look in Judges 21:22. It's an example about God working when we have pure intentions. Before the battle, Gideon sent most of his soldiers home per God's request. If you're young out there, you know, read Gideon's story. I mean, he starts off with 32,000 men. He's worried he didn't have enough men. And then God basically says, I'm going to take care of you. And then ones that lapped, you know, they were sent home when drinking water. So, but he's down to 300 men, and he's going to go fight 120,000 people. And Gideon's like, okay, this is what you want me to do. This is what we're going to do. So, and every man stood at his place, Judges 7:21, all around the camp, and the whole army ran and cried out and fled. When the 300 trumpets blew, the Lord sent every man's sword against his companion throughout the whole camp, and the army fled. So they were confused, and they fought each other. So of the 120,000 men, none of the 300 people had to kill anybody. They all fled, and Israel was saved. And if you go back to verse 12, I believe it says that that the 120,000 men were like locusts. That's what they looked like, you know, out in front of them. And this victory is basically the hand of God, which blessing is promised if we're pure in heart. So yeah, Gideon came to God pure in heart, and he was blessed. And we need to go to God pure in heart. Are we pure in heart? Do we entertain ourselves with pure media? Do we desire pure entertainment? Do we ever have ulterior motives that aren't really too pure? Back to Matthew. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called sons of God. Being a peacemaker in this world is pretty difficult to do. You know, we have a lot of peace fakers, a lot of peace breakers. But we need to be peacemakers. Abram is a peacemaker, Abraham. And he had a difficult situation with him and Lot. And Abraham was a peacemaker. Basically, Abraham and Lot, they had a lot of stuff. They had too much stuff for all the land. Too many cattle, many people. And there wasn't enough resources for everything that Abraham's and Lot's family owned. So they were blessed greatly for obeying God. But then they quarreled amongst themselves. So a reference scripture, Genesis 13:8. So Abraham said to Lot, let's not have any quarreling between you and me or between your herders and mine, for we are close relatives. Is not the whole land before you? That's part company. If you go to the left, I'll go to the right. If you go to the right, I'll go to the left. Basically, Abraham, he was senior. He could have told Lot, this is what you're going to do. You're going to go this way. But Lot supposedly picked the better ground, and he ran into trouble. So basically, the situation Abram and Lot had wasn't working. They agreed to disagree and go their separate ways and be peaceable and God-fearing. Abraham was blessed greatly for being a peacemaker. Abraham's descendants will be sons of God. In Genesis 12:2, it basically says the same thing that we read in Deuteronomy 28. This is what God's saying to Abraham. I will make you a great nation. I will bless you. I will make your name great. And you will be a blessing. And I will bless those that bless you, and I will curse those that curse you. And all peoples on the earth will be blessed through you. Do we strive to be a peacemaker like Abraham? Are we peaceful? Are we peaceful to others? In Matthew 5:10 is the last beatitude. It talks about those that are persecuted for righteousness' sake. Blessed are those that are persecuted for righteousness' sake. I really don't have a character for that right now, but just think, this is kind of your homework. Blessed are those who are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. So try to find a biblical character that matches that. Something to do this week. That's your homework. That's the school teacher in me, I guess. Today we have looked at the righteous actions from the faithful of Hebrews 11. These people have the characteristics that God desires to bless. We should spend our time and our actions matching these qualities of the faithful of Hebrews 11. When we get into a situation that tests our character, we should ask ourselves, some of these questions. What would Noah do in this situation? What would David do? How would Gideon handle this problem? How would Rahab handle this type of person? How would Moses handle this temptation to sin? We need to be exact models of the people that were mentioned in Hebrews 11 and match their examples of being peaceable, pure, righteous, meek, and having pride-less ways. Happy Sabbath and have a prosperous week, and may God bless you greatly.